It is Ascension of Our Lord Sunday. The Scripture's lessons are from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Today's message is titled, Taken Up to Heaven. Hear the Holy Scripture as it's written in Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Here ends our first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 44th verse. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Today's scripture lesson speaks of wonders. Wonders that our human mind really is not capable of understanding. How it was possible. As much as people marvel at magicians' amazing magic and wonder, how did he do that? Before us is the testimony of scripture, is a moment that defies our abilities to explain. We have before us the testimony that Jesus was taken up to heaven. The ascension of Jesus is part of the extraordinary happenings in history surrounding Jesus, who is the Christ. Luke writes to Theophilus in his first book, which we know as the Gospel of Luke, the first extraordinary happenings concerning Jesus, who is the Christ. The Immaculate Conception, which brings about the Incarnation. The angel comes to Mary and states his fact. This is written in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 31. The angel speaks to Mary, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." To this wondrous word that she, Mary, would be with child, Mary responds, showing she does understand how babies are made. For Mary responds with a question. It's written in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." To which the reply came, "The Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, will accomplish this." Mary, who has known no man, conceives a child. Can we understand this wonder? Can we explain as one who knows how biology works? Through the years, many have tried to explain away this extraordinary with natural explanations, and their explanations lack faith and deny the testimony of Scripture. The child conceived in Mary is the Christ that Scriptures testify is fully human and at the same time fully God. This boy to be born and grown to a man who at the same time is fully God and fully human, can we explain this too? How can the Christ be fully God and fully human and confusing neither nor diluting neither essence? Fully God, fully human. Yet that is exactly what the Scriptures testify. The Christ is fully God and fully human, learning to walk, learning to talk, needing, feeding, and cleaning just like any other infant, growing into a man like any other man, and at the same time, unlike any other man. The Christ lives in perfect obedience to the Father, such that this man, Jesus, was sinless. Yet fully human, needing to eat and sleep and all those other human bodily functions, including needing a bath, all the necessities of life, all those bodily things you and I experience day in and day out, which we don't talk about much, Jesus the Christ experienced all of these, though we don't want to even think of those or even less express them concerning the Christ. But he was fully human. That is being fully human. Christ, fully human, means these things. Then that Thursday evening when Jesus was betrayed by a friend's kiss, forcefully taken as the passion of the Christ unfolds in surprising speed, brutalized as he is dragged hither and thither from the Sanhedrin to Pilate, to Herod, and back to Pilate, and then driven to the cross to be crucified. All the human pain, excruciating pain of nails driven through wrists and feet with thorns biting his brow. At the same time, the fullness of sin was placed on Jesus, for Jesus is the Christ, the spotless lamb whose blood will redeem the foulest of the foul, the worst of the worst. Even you, even I, will be forgiven in him, for Jesus is the Christ. We know this to be true, for the tomb is empty. Christ rose from the dead. That is the testimony. That is the eyewitness account. Can we really comprehend a dead man rising? Can we grasp all that had to happen for Christ, who was crucified and died, for all that had to happen for him to rise? all the humanness, all the fully human body functions needed to be restored and life be in him after being dead. Now as the risen Christ, death would no longer have hold of him. Christ defeated death. Do we really understand what it means when we confessed, on the third day he rose again? Luke's gospel testifies that Jesus said, it's written in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 38. Jesus, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." To prove the point, Jesus was fully human, fully alive, he says. "Do you have anything to eat?" The eyewitness testimony recorded by Luke states in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Risen Christ, fully human, flesh and bones, and eats. Is the wonder and awe rising in your soul? Is a fuller and deeper sense and a desire to worship rise in your soul? This is Jesus. This is the Christ, crucified and risen Christ. Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." After the meal, the time for learning began. Jesus reminded them, that's the disciples, reminded them all he had said as they traversed the countryside together. The teachings, the healings, the signs, the wonders, all those things had taken place the previous 3+ years. All those words of prophecy, all the words set forth in the scripture had to be brought to completion. All those things, they had to be fulfilled. It was necessary. It behooves to bring them to completion. Luke 24, starting at verse 45. Jesus opened their minds, the disciples' minds, so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." He opened the disciples' minds. Jesus opened their minds. That word opened in the Greek, it means to fully open by completing the process necessary to do so. Those 3+ years of hanging out with Jesus are now being explained anew with the reality and the experience of the crucified and risen Christ teaching them. The risen Christ, after being crucified and dead, is now teaching them the same thing again. And now they have a new understanding. All those times on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus had told the disciples he was going to suffer. He would be betrayed and be killed. Didn't quite connect with them. Now, the risen Christ is opening the scriptures for a purpose. These disciples will be the witnesses. They are witnesses. They will preach to the nations. Preach repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name to all races, all ethnicities, all people. Just as suddenly as Jesus appeared in the room, Jesus was gone from the room. In fact, over the next 40 days, Jesus would come and go, appearing and then gone. As Luke writes in his second book to Theophilus, over these days, Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The evidence was indisputable. The evidence was irrefutable over those 40 days. That's the testimony Luke has written and gave to Theophilus, and the scripture gives to you. Jesus the Christ was risen from the dead with flesh and bone and eating fish and continuing the teaching with the reality of the crucified and risen one there before their very own eyes. Jesus the Christ, who was dead, is very much alive, fully human, alive, fully God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 3 to a portion of verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also. Here the Apostle Paul gives the testimony of how many people had seen the risen Christ. There was a moment that the risen Christ appeared to more than 500 at the same time. And Paul writes, if you don't believe me, some of them are still alive. Go and check it out for yourself. Go to the source. See it's true. Go ask for yourself. Jesus the Christ rose from the dead. But there's something here in this passage you may not pick up on unless you slow down and be intentional about it. And you ought to take note of it too. The appearance of the risen Christ to the Apostle Paul was an appearance that happened after the ascension of Jesus to heaven. Just put that in your hip pocket and keep that in mind for the deepening of your faith. The Christ is the risen Lord. Luke concluded his first book with the ascension of Jesus the Christ, the Lord. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. While Jesus the Christ was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. The Greek here is full of deep and depth of rich meaning. The Greek word, which we have in English, and it came to pass. This is the Greek word order now translated into English, and this might help a little bit too. And it came to pass in the blessing of him, them, he was separated from them and carried up into heaven. That first part, he was separated from them. Christ was set apart from them. Set apart for what was to come next. Take up into heaven. Carried into heaven is a better translation. The Greek word Luke chose to express that was happening is rich in meaning. The word Luke was chosen by the power of the Holy Spirit to use is so full of meaning. The meaning behind this is, I offer up on a high altar as a sacrifice. Offer up to God on high. That's the usage of this word, carried up to heaven. That's the usage here, offered as a sacrifice to God on high. The usage of this word Luke intentionally draws upon here, Jesus the Christ, the perfect Lamb sacrificed for our sin on the cross, fully redeeming, bringing the total and complete forgiveness of sins. The Greek word anaphero. Anaphero is a compound word. Ana means up. Pharaoh means bring, carry. Properly to bring up to the goal, to the end point. In other words, carry something through to reach the consummation. So the image that's being drawn here through these words, Luke guided by the power of the Holy Spirit to write in this ascension, is the bringing to consummation. Bringing the redeeming work of Christ to fulfillment. The incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection are brought to their consummation in the ascension. Christ's redeeming work was fulfilled as he sits down at the right hand of the Father. Naturally, the response is worship. Our response is worship. As it's written in Luke chapter 24, verse 52, then they, that's the disciples, worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. In his ascension, this is important, exceedingly important for you to know. In his ascension, Christ did not leave his human nature behind. The fully human part of him, however you want to describe it, it's a mystery beyond words. The ascended Christ is fully human. The ascended Christ is fully God. The ascension was not a spiritual-only event that left an empty human carcass behind like a deflated balloon limply laying on the ground. The fullness of Christ ascended. Fully human, fully God, ascended Christ is now seated at the right hand of God. Just as Christ said in the Sanhedrin, it's recorded in Luke chapter 22, verses 67 through 70. The Sanhedrin questioning him and Christ answering, "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus replied, "You are right in saying, I am." As it's written in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us?" It is written in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In his ascension, in Jesus the Christ's ascension, in a very visible manner, the disciples were given a definitive moment knowing the Christ has gone. And just as assuredly, the promised Holy Spirit will come. Remember, up to this point, how Jesus had been coming and going in a manner of not being present, then all of a sudden is present with them, even behind the closed and locked doors, and then gone again, coming and going over those period of 40 days. Now, at his ascension, now, this moment, very clearly before their very own eyes, Jesus visibly leaves them, being carried into heaven. Christ has concluded his earthly ministry and departed the earth to take his place with the Father in heaven. Christ's redeeming work has been accomplished. The way of salvation has been opened by Christ's own precious blood. Jesus the Christ, taken up to heaven, means for you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life is yours in Christ. The sinful nature of man, your sinful nature, has been fully and completely redeemed in Christ. Incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, everything written about the Christ in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms has been fulfilled. Amen and amen.